July the 29th, 2021. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Miraj Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, with Allah's name, the Merciful Benefactor, the Merciful Redeemer. As-salamu alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Warfuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blogtalkradio.com and you'll be able to listen to the talks that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua and then we will continue where we left off yesterday. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. Water is darkness, land is light. And then it gives seven layers of light in the Quran. And it says, and the water is darkness. Water is darkness and land is light. It doesn't say that I'm just carrying it further. You don't set a fire in the water, you set it on the land. So we say he's just blowing off steam. So when water man and the fireman, fire producer and water producer, when they get together in a clash or in a debate, if the fire is built, that fire man is big enough. Every time the water man throws something at it, at him, it turns into steam, like a puff of moisture in the air, and it is gone. It disappears. So you know the expression in the Bible, in the beginning there was the Word, and the Word took on flesh and dwelled in the life of man. That is not exactly the wording, but that is the message. Quran, in it, it are books of an upright position. Qiyamah, the Quran and the highest evolution. The Quran is a book of previous books in their correct form, but that is the way it is translated. But the word in the Quran is not corrected, not exactly. But you can arrive at that understanding from the language of the Quran. But what is the exact word? Qiyama. It comes from the word, its root is to stand up. So the meaning is standing up correctly and reaching the standard position in its highest evolution or in its highest progression. So this is what the word Qiyama suggests to me. The book and their corrected forms of the book's progress to their intended progression. They were not meant to stay there. It was meant for the Holy Spirit to inspire those people and guide them into further progression of understanding. So what God gives in the Quran, highly glorified is he, is language to start the interest again. So it will continue its progression until it reaches the progress state that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends for that understanding of that language. So in the beginning there was the word, and you know the rest of it. I gave it just now, but you know it. We know it all by heart. So the Quran comes back with the language with kun fayakun. The Quran, Surah 27, Ayat 1, Quran verses make matters clear. Isaiah 11:6, a little child shall lead them. Interfaith transparency. Quran is a book and comes clear, open, transparent. Scripture's guidance is locked up against a mind influenced by the world. Imam Warfuddin Muhammad, the world stage is changing. You know, for help to mankind, And language says a lot that is being used in religious circles of educated religious people who are interested in coming together, whether they belong to the same religion or not, to address the problems for mankind and looking to see, are we contributing to that problem? And religion has contributed to that problem. And religious leaders now are coming together, those who know that they want to change. They are using such expressions as transparency. The secular world is also using that term, but the first time I heard it was years ago from religious leaders who were meeting to address the problem of society, the world that religion might have contributed to. So the transparency is not a new occupation for religious leaders, but it is a new term and not entirely new, because the Quran says this book is a book that comes clear and open, transparent. And I think that the term politically started, I think, in Russia when one of the Russian leaders said they wanted to promote openness. And another term that has come as an expression in spiritual reading, it is now a popular expression amongst those religious people, leaders on the world stage, who want to see if we have had a role that contributes to the mess that we have in the world, if we had let. So the correct their mistakes, they're going to read scripture again. You can have a disposition that the world gives you as a Muslim, and you read the Quran and all of God's precious jewels are locked, and you can't get them out. You can't reach them. No role for you to go and follow to find them. And it is the same for Christians. If their minds have been influenced and directed by the world, many of them can't find the precious teachings of Jesus Christ. They read the Bible and they read nothing but rituals and stuff, and they miss the precious direction that Jesus represented as a sign for man to reconcile his life again with nature as Adam did. So he is the second Adam, Jesus Christ. Reconcile your life again with the nature created by God, and then you will find patterns for your thinking that will bring you to the great destination that God wants you to reach, for your capacity and your potential inside of you, a virtual heaven on this earth. That is what God wants for us. And innocence says a child shall lead them. It won't be a child, it will be a grown-up, but it will be someone who is as innocent in his intent or in his design on the world. He will be as innocent as a child. So Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, said, if your child asks for bread, will you give him a stone to break his teeth? Or something, kistonet. Bread is supposed to educate, because it begins with a seed, and you grind the seed into powder, and then you add to the powder water or whatever, and you end up baking it, and it comes out so delicious. But if you would take grass seed, it would not be so nice. So in the Bible, they even call the seed stone. So actually what Jesus Christ is saying, why do you give them unfinished teaching? Give them the teaching and the fruits or the raw stage that you get in. Use your intelligence and break it down so that they understand it and appreciate it and have pleasure tasting and digesting it. So that is what Jesus Christ was teaching them. And in the Quran it says, Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, had been missioned, taught by God, and he came to do what? to teach you the book and to wisdom in Arabic. It is al-kitabu wal-hikman. The wisdom means the logic for coming to or performing judgment. So the logic that directs you the way you should go to form a judgment on the particular matter, he teaches you the book and the wisdom. And it says also to purify you, because if you are not purified, if your mind is not cleansed, the pollution that the world put in your head is not taken out of it, you are not going to be able to read the book, not to speak of getting any wisdom. So I think we should dwell on this, the Bible, Scripture, and Quran. They are giving on different levels so that the person who is uninformed, uneducated, can get much help. His life and his life can be sufficiently taken care of by that which is form or ground level. So first level, but it goes to higher levels to the most advanced intellectual thinker and even the thinker of the saintly people who have reached the highest level of intelligent progression for the soul. So it is on all of those levels what should be taken literally is, do not lie, do not steal, do not cheat, do not deceive, do not be nasty, be decent, do not be stupid, be intelligent, etc. So this is the teaching in Scripture that should be taken just like it is. It needs no interpretation because common nature tells this how to receive it and practice it right if we have the decency to do so. So we are closing out this segment here, which I think we have more than one part, so we do want to come back because I think we need to address this again. The focus is everything in existence, and everything in existence as one word, universe, and universe is one verse. So that should tell us we should be able to read all of it as one and the same reading, or one line, one statement. And the statement should say, God did this, not us, not you, pardon me. The Quran Surah 28, Ayat 5, Allah gives us this land as inheritance. Allah says, my servant shall inherit the earth. So this has been said to people before you. They have gone up to the top of the world and have reached all over the globe and have enjoyed freedom and power. Allah speaks of the human design and associates his gifts of grace, goodness, and all such things for the person. Now, if you want to be foolish and let the wicked, the formed creatures have all of the, all and deny yourself, that will be your problem. I'm a Muslim. I say utilize resources. It's for me. Now, if they don't measure up better than I do, I say that I will have more legitimate claim on these bounties, material grace from Allah. And I'm going to move more aggressively to get my share. If I can get enough of you to hold on, the shriners, the sinners, pardon me, in power, are in trouble. We will be strong competition for Allah's creation-based resources. So the Quran, Surah 28, Ayat 7 to 10. Moses in basket, Exodus 2, 3 to 7, Moses in basket. Moses' basket, evil Jews learned from Egyptians. Moses was put on the river, and he was put in a basket. Is that right? And floated down the river to Egypt. Moses was a baby when he was put in that basket. Is that right? But Moses didn't know nothing. When he was put in that basket, okay, who taught Moses? It was Egypt. Egypt taught Moses. So Moses here, though Moses is a prophet, Moses in this story is still, is this allegorical, is really the Jewish people. So they are telling us that they got on the river. So river means that they got into the spiritual order. They got into the religious society, and it brought them to Egypt so that they would learn to get knowledge. So now the book says that Moses was put in the basket as a baby and floated down the river into Egypt land. Is that right? So what does this mean now? Who is Moses? Moses in this story has double meaning always. So scripture always have double meaning. It is a snake with two tongues, snake with forked tongue. So when he speaks here and he speaks there too. All right, Moses was floating down the river into Egypt on a basket. What does this mean? Moses, in Moses, we have a picture of the whole Jacob or Israelite society. And flowing down the river means that we were not speaking in Jacob's tongue now. We were not mentally strong. We were a baby. So basket represents small material strength. So the basket represents the material strength. See, a basket is just a little bit of material. It's so light. You can float it on the water, right? So the baby is in the basket representing the development of that society morally and spiritually was still a baby. That society and knowledge was still a baby. So this is history of the Jacobite people that is known now as Jews, and their society went down the river. Means that they didn't go into Egypt as a material society or a economic society or as a political order. They went into Egypt as a moral society. They went into Egypt as a moral moved society. So they went there riding the water, meaning riding the strength of moral purity and moral power. They went into Egypt like that. Jews came into Egypt, started with Joseph's strong morals. Okay, can we find anything in the Bible or in the book to shine some light on this or to back this up? Yes. The Israelite or the Jacobite people themselves, they are not the same. Now, but I am using their name in the same in this. They say that their coming into Egypt started with Joseph. Is that right? So with Joseph in Scripture, both Bible and the Holy Quran, is a strong moral body. Joseph was honest. Joseph was sincere. Joseph was clean in his morals. Pharaoh's wife couldn't seduce him to go with her. He wouldn't steal from Pharaoh. He was so honest and so truthful and so upright in his morals that Pharaoh put him over the treasures or over the storehouses. Is that right? All right, so this is how they got into Egypt. So this is how they begin to grow. But as they got there and became bigger in the social body, they became bigger in moral makeup. They became bigger in intellectual makeup. They became more worldly, wise. And they became bigger in material sense. So as they grew in Egypt, Pharaoh began to fear their growth. So he decided to put them in chains, to put them in bondage. Now we have the Moses story, and we don't know how to connect these things. But the Moses floated down. He is floating down while there were slaves already existing according to this story. Is that right? But don't let this confuse you. Moses is before slavery. Moses goes there, then slavery starts. So the Jacobite people go to Egypt and slavery comes after the society fears their presence. So they made themselves while they were yet weak. They hadn't developed strong enough to be a threat, but they saw a threat developing, so they enslaved those people. And after enslaving them, they continued to grow. Why? Because they had gotten hold of some knowledge from the Egyptians, and the Egyptians' knowledge, they added it with their knowledge from the Egyptians, and the Egyptian knowledge, and they added it with their knowledge, and it made them even wiser than the Egyptians. So creation shapes of man, Jews, from jinn. What was their knowledge? Their knowledge was the knowledge of the man. They came with an idea of the world as a man. They saw the whole world in the image of a man. Right now, this concept of creation still exists. There are people in Asia and other parts of the world that still believe in fact, Christians themselves. Often they still say that the whole creation, physical world, is in the shape of a man. So they had this concept, and they believed that man and creation are really the same. So man and creation is the small model, and the big model is the whole physical world. The small model is the man. And just as the forces of creation are moving in the world to create life and power, the forces in the small model are moving to create a ruler for the world or a likeness of God. Where did they get this idea from? Before they themselves, that is the Hebrew people, the so-called Hebrew people, before they were even called Hebrews, took this idea, they got it from what is called the jinn. So the jinn of Asia, the jinn believed, and also that the whole creation was in the form of a man, and that it turned as a wheel. It was turning as a wheel. When the head got upside down, the world was in bad shape. And the world had to wait until the head comes back up to get in good shape. And they believed that when the head start turning upright, if the focus of intelligence and spirit works hard, the soul of this creation in the man can escape and go out of the head and escape this cycle, gain freedom from this cycle. So this was their idea. Now, God has gradually raised the society or evolved the religious development, so we shouldn't thought at that was a step forward. The baby has to be reared up. So the man of six blind tried to identify elephant. All right, so the Hebrew brought this idea, or they came from the same society, so they came with the same idea of creation in the form of a man. In the language of the jinn, they have a saying that goes like this. It says that there were six blind boys or men, six blind men, and they all tried to identify an elephant. None of them knew anything about an elephant, had ever seen an elephant, or had any knowledge of an elephant. They went up to six of them, grabbed the leg of the elephant, and he tried to identify what he had was holding. He said, this is a great pillar. You know, a pillar that holds up a great structure. Men of six, limited to own rational knowledge. See, another one grabs hold to the ear, and he said, this is a fan, a big fan. So the story is designed to say this, that man six means the man of six. Again, the man who trusts his own intelligence and won't submit to God. So the man of six who, rather than accept God independently in his own way, that man that have faith is nothing but his own rational mind and his own intelligence. He is inclined to be subjective and limited in his vision. He will see something and think that he has seen the whole thing. So each of the six means this particular mind tries to identify. So this elephant and all of them failed. None of them could see the whole elephant. The Quran, Surah 29, Ayah 14, Noah lived 950 years. Genesis 9:29, Noah lived 950 years. So environments of materialism poison their souls. So Genesis tells us that Adam's descendants, they became the industrial people working in iron and other materials and builders. They became very industrial people. Industrial grew and grew, and their environment that they created, just like the environment that man has created for us now. It can help you, but it also can set you back. The environment that they created causes them to give all the attention to material development. The point that materialism poisoned their souls and they became so disturbed by their own world that they created that God punished them with a great flood. And the flood took all but a few, Noah and his children. So this is the Bible. So Noah's new generation was the order of the spiritual. And from Noah came a new development, a new trend, a new world order after Noah. So it was the order of the spiritual that followed behind the order of industry. The Quran, Surah 29, Ayah 33. Lot's wife lagged behind on jets. Genesis 19:26. Lot's wife, pillar of salt. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made man from clay. Tin, clay, means accepting to be corrected, that the nature of clay, it yields to be formed. If you don't accept to be correct, then you are like baked clay. Quran, Surah 11, Ayat 82. Pirates punished with baked clay. So baked clay has to be broken. It can't be shaped. And IWDM would like to be punished with baked clay. Would you rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punish you with your own wrongdoings, with your evils, with your sins, and force you to become disciplined that way? Or would you rather he feed you morals and spiritual understanding and bring you into conformity? So rain means feed thirst for spiritual moral guidance. Rain means that he feeds your thirst for spiritual and moral guidance. So baked clay means punished because of sins make you rigid. So baked clay means he punished you because of your sins and made you rigid. People giving themselves to sin, the more they give themselves to sin, the more rigid they become. They don't listen to nobody. Stiff in this disobedience, soon their form is fixed like that, and they can't be changed. Would you want to be punished with that, or would you like to have morals and spiritual instructions that give life and growth? So the Quran, Surah 29, Ayat 33, Lot's wife lagged behind on jet. Genesis 19:26, Lot's wife, pillar of salt. But this Lot's wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Sin has a way, it says, Lot's wife was turned to the pillar of salt because she disobeyed the instructions, was that she should not look back on Sodom and Gomorrah. For disobeying, she kept dwelling on sin that had been committed, and she became herself emitted like salt. is bitter, and she became herself so rigid in her own self-righteousness, rigid and stiff like a pillar of salt, because she was reflecting on sin of Sodom and Gomorrah and wasn't reflecting on God's deliverance. If she had been remembering God's deliverance, then that thought would have made her lively and human. But thinking only on evil of the past, she became admitted and rigid in her self-righteousness. So those who become like baked clay, they are sinning, burn them, and more it burns them, it burns out their spirituality, morality, and becomes rigid like a burned clay. Rigid like burned clay. So who wants to dwell on sin all the time? Stop dwelling on sin. Dwell on the blessings of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So baked clay falls on those who dwell on sin, and on the sinners falls on both. Don't think of clay running down on you. Think of you being the baked clay yourself. Instead of teaching of the religion, the revelation, instead of it making you the human you should be, because of wrong disposition of your own mind, the same teaching that made others human and lively makes you a rigid stone, dead to human senses, sentiments. They read Quran sometimes more than we do. They are all the time reading it. And revelation comes to them, but instead of making them morally and spiritually human, it makes them salty, bitter, and self-righteous, and makes others like clay, hard, rigid. They won't listen to anybody. You got to say nothing. You can't say it right. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us clay, but he wants us the kind of clay for him. When he wants us to yield to correction, and when he wants us to become rigid against disobeying him, so there are times when we should be rigid clay, pottery clay, against influence from outside, but we have to be when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us soft clay. Before God, we are soft clay. But before the world that asks us to come away from God's guidance, we are rigid. We would rather be destroyed than to yield. So the Quran, Surah 29, Ayah 33, Lot's wife lagged behind. Genesis 19:26, Lot's wife became a pillar of salt. Luke 14:34, salt lost its savor. What good is it? So death of the water is the knowledge. Salt water is deep knowledge of human nature. Salt out of the water becomes rigid as stone. Sensitivity people didn't want was the salty water. Man, what are they talking about? The Old Testament, the water of the human world had become too bitter for the masses of the people. Their sensitivity was distasteful, did not have any appeal. The water that the people did not want was the salt water, the water of the ocean. What is salt water? Salt water comes from the ocean, and it has depths. It is very deep. So what does this represent? It represents knowledge, education, and sciences of the human nature had to become dead, dull things for the people. It didn't have savor. If the salt has lost its savor, what good is it? Then except to be thrown out into the earth. But it worked good for a long time. So Lord, let people see, understand, and practically exercise it on themselves. Sweet water, let the people exercise Lord themselves. So we know the salt water, if you pour on it, the garden, it is not good. You need lake water, rain water, sweet water to put on the growing things, not with the salt in it. The mistake that those Old Testament people made was this, They took salt to mean the knowledge. Salt is not the knowledge. The depths of the water is the knowledge. But salt represents something else. The New Testament is not saying throw out the knowledge. It is saying throw out the rigidity. Salt, if you leave it out of the water, it becomes rigid. It will become a stone. Throw out the bitterness. Salt is bitterly taken too large of a quantity. Throw out the emphasis on rigidity. This emphasis on blind obedience to laws. Let the people see the law and understand the law and be able to practically exercise the law on themselves without people imposing upon them, without their knowledge. Then you will take the salt, solid, and it will be sweet water. They understood it. So salt was not something that just became a problem in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, Lot's wife was turned into a pillar of salt. Why was she turned into a pillar of salt? This will help us understand what salt means in Scripture. Lot's wife was turned into a pillar of salt because she looked at the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, and the order came, cautioning the people, warning them, whatever you do not look back. It said God was going to lead them out of the fire, but it said warning came saying, let no one look back, because Sodom was a terrible place. It had done terrible things. It had become a perverse, very much like some of the streets of San Francisco. Depths of the water is the knowledge. Salt water is deep knowledge of human nature. So salt out of the water becomes rigid or stone. Sensitivity people didn't want was the salt water. What are you talking about? The Old Testament. The water of the human world had become too bitter for the masses of people. Their sensitivity was distasteful, did not have any appeal. The water that the people did not want was the salt water, the water of the ocean. What is salty water? Salty water comes from the ocean, and it has depths. It is very deep. So what does this represent? It represents knowledge, education, and sciences of the human nature had become dead, dull things for the people. It didn't have savor. If the salt has lost its savor, what good is it? Then except to be thrown out into the earth. But it worked good for a long time. So Lord, let people see, understand, and practically exercise it on themselves. So sweet water lets the people exercise law themselves. So we know the salt water, if you pour it on the garden, it is not good. You need lake water, rain water, sweet water to pour on the growing things, not with the salt in it. So the mistake that those Old Testament people made was this. They took salt to mean the knowledge. Salt is not the knowledge. The depths of the water is the knowledge. But salt represents something else, the New Testament. It's not saying throw out the knowledge. It is saying throw out the rigidity. Salt, if you leave it out of the water, it becomes rigid. It will become a stone. Throw out the bitterness. Salt is bitterly taken too large of a quantity. Throw out the emphasis on rigidity, this emphasis on blind obedience to laws. Let the people see the law and understand the law and be able to practically exercise law on themselves without people imposing it upon them, without their knowledge. Then you will take the salt, solid, and it will be sweet water. They understood it. Salt was not something that just became problems in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, Lot's wife was turned into a pillar of salt. Why was she turned into a pillar of salt? This will help us understand what salt means in Scripture. Lot's wife was turned into a pillar of salt because she looked back. She looked at the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And the order came, cautioning the people, warning them, whatever you do, do not look back. It said God was going to lead them out of the fire. But it said warning came saying, let no one look back. Because Sodom was a terrible place. It had done terrible things. It had become so perverse, very much like some of the streets of San Francisco. It was terrible, and God had fire down on it. So the punishment of those people was so terrible to behold. So Lot's wife looked back, means I sympathize or I like the punishment. And Lot's wife was a woman who was in charge of the discipline of the children. And she looked back. Looking back, what does it say? Either my heart is a little bit with those people who are being punished, or I like punishment that they are getting. Why would I want to look back? I either want to look back because my heart is with them, but look, the impulse to look back indicates more cruelty in me. It indicates that there might be possible streaks of cruelty in me than sympathy, because most of the people do not want to look at life suffering. So why would Lot's wife want to look back? She wants to look back because she loved what was happening. She was happy over what was happening. She wanted to look at the people being destroyed. So the Bible says she became a pillar of salt. When you say someone is salty, you mean that they are not friendly at that time, that they are hard to get along with. They are bitter. They have turned into a pillar of salt, meaning his whole life becomes rigid and bitter. So darkness like waves can't see hands. So the darkness upon the face of the deep. Salt means sternness. Ships have a stern. Now let's go back to the ocean and see if we can understand what salt means in that ocean. It means sternness. The ships that go out in the ocean has what? A stern. It means sternness. The creatures in the lake, in the pond, they look jovial. They look happy. But those creatures in the deep ocean look stern. So that is what it is referring to. They use salt, but actually, they are not talking about the depths of the water. We want depths of the knowledge. But what does the Quran say about the depths of the water? It says it is darkness layer upon layer. So no more, no man's know. So no man knows it. He has no vision under its gravity. So man has vision when the soul becomes structured by knowledge. So that means no matter how deep you go down, it's darkness. So down here in the water of the sensitivity, the soul, there is darkness. That is why God said, let there be light. No man knows his soul. No man has vision while he is under the gravity of his soul. Man has vision when the soul becomes structured by knowledge, when his sensitivities are structured under the influence of knowledge, then he has vision. Then he has light. Salt does not respond to touch. Water does, not platable like clay. So we don't want to get too stern. If we get too stern, we have no sensitivity. And the little children will suffer. Their mothers have become a pillar of salt. Stern, insensitive. Salt doesn't shake. Water shakes. Water responds to touch. Salt does not respond to touch. And it is not like clay. Clay is a material that you can mold it and you can work with it. It is plantable, but salt, you put water with it and it dries. It tries to put it together. It dissolves itself. So the only thing that you can do is put it in a container. Leave it there and let it harden and become a rock. So Mary represents sweet water. Adam represents the first generation. Jesus represents the second generation. Imam, some too stern like pillars of salt, too rigid. So Mary, why did we connect this? Because Mary represents sweet water, not salt water. And the need for a new woman to bring forth a new generation. Adam represents the first generation in the Christian terminology. Jesus Christ represents the second generation or the second Adam. So the necessity was because there was too much rituality, too much insensitivity in the religious world. So a message came that appeal to the state of the people's savor without the salt. Light, sweet water. So when you go too much, so when you get too much salt, what do you want? You want water without salt. So they had given the world too much salt, too much sternness, like some of these imams who come here and want us to follow them looking like pillars of salt. No human life at all in them, walking around looking otherworldly. And they think we're going to follow them. Ship them out on the first rocket going into Neverland. Just keep floating out there. We don't want them. We are not going to accept them. They will never be successful amongst us. I can go to sleep and sleep for 100 years and give them freedom to lead this community. And when I wake up, I'll find it all gone, and I'll have to put it back together. They will be sitting in the corner somewhere with two nuts or two cubits of salt. I'm not bragging. I'm trying to save your life. Soul, property, and water, property, minimum were one. So faith, because we learn to trust somebody. Faith is a property of the soul. Soul is the seed of the core of the sensitive nature. Let's now look at the properties of the water or the properties of the soil. Our sensitivity, our soul, are stirred by fear, love, faith. As a result of something, resulting from what? From trust. I have learned to trust something. So I have become faithful. I have faith, daddy, brother, cousin, uncle, grandpa, policeman, or the friend down the street. Whatever we have faith in, it's because in having a relationship with the person or things we have found, we can trust it. So seed order development succeeded sensitivity. Water to land, soil, life, movement. So fear, love, faith, and devotion. So faith is a property of the soul. So we find later in scripture, faith seen in material concept seed. So here we have sensitive nature of the human being, and that seed or the core of that sensitive nature is called what? Soul. Now we have the soul coming into the land. It has come out of the sensitive life, or out of its sensitivity, and it has become life, the material. So what does that mean? It has no disturbance in it. It has turned so much, trusted so much, pardon me. It has so much trust that it has become rested, but there is an orderliness in it. The seed has a pattern of orderliness and development. So order and development now has taken over our, or over all, has succeeded sensitivity. Isn't this necessary requirement for the real scientific progress? When our society becomes obedient to order and development processes, that is when we become scientific in our thinking. The Quran, Surah 30, Ayah 23, Allah made the day for activity. The Quran, Surah 38, Ayah 72, when I have breathed into him of my spirit. Genesis 1, 2, darkness was upon the face of the deep. Education is from the sensitivity of the soul. So arrows two, one God's purpose, the other is Muhammad's will. Scripture says that the spirit moved along the surface of the water, and God said, let there be light. God is saying that if you will only become sensitive to my cause and purpose, my spirit will move with your sensitivity. The Quran says it was shot as two arrows from one bow. Going to the top is the will of God. The spirit in Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, went as two arrows fired by the same bow. It means that the natural power and potential that God gave man in creating him, and that bow has now become very tense. It's strained to reach God's purpose. So it fires. And when it fires at the thing, it is armed at the seed, and it sends two. One is God's purpose and God's will, and the other is Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, will and his obedience to God's purpose. So they go parallel at the same speed to the same target. And the spirit is moved along the face of the water. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. He placed a small lamp in the sky. This is speaking to the evolution of the light. Knowledge, he placed something up there to reflect the light of the sun. So the sun has not been placed up there yet, but he put something in the heavens of the leadership to reflect the light before it even was done. It was already there, ready to receive. The moon was put up. It didn't say the moon was shining. It did not say the moon was put up. And it was a beautiful, shining, illuminating object. No, it was just put up there. It says, and then he caused the sun to be put there. It came up in the heavens. And now he said, let there be light. But look how light evolved. Light evolved from the sensitivity in the soul or the spirituality. So this is what welcomes God's light, God's love, what he saw happening in the water. So he blessed it with his guidance or with his inspiration. And in the water came light. Science says the moon is black. Look in your paper. If you want some evidence of what I'm saying, it is black. It hasn't shown any light yet. Shouldn't that make you know you now, you who are sane, rational, and sensible, and morally responsive, shouldn't that make you know now that God has taken a little Negro from Elijah Muhammad, that God has taken a little Negro for Elijah Muhammad and lifted him up to the highest place and understanding his truth? I said that the condition had to be brought about for the spirituality before the sun. Knowledge can rise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said he has made the day for activity. So So as long as we are just having spiritual life without guidance and material reality, or for material world, we have no activity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to us how we evolved as creation. He is saying to us that the benefit of my material world will only come to you in saint small amounts. But if you are ever turned on to my guidance to evolve as I designed for you to evolve, you will come into big material accomplishments. So the Quran Surah 30, Ayat 30, the Quran light revealed in the night divine nature, religion of nature. So the Quran is light, but it was revealed in the night. It was revealed in the darkness. It was brought in the darkness to come by way of darkness. So what kind of darkness? Not the darkness of ignorance, but the darkness of divine nature that God put in the creation. And the Quran came following the natural way of God. It didn't come through man's learning. Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, didn't get the Quran through the man's knowledge, through human knowledge. He got the Quran through divine inspiration. And by divine inspiration, Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, was made to see that this light is supported by the creation and the law of creation. So there is the darkness of the creation and the darkness of natural law. So the darkness of natural law, even in man, bears witness, supports the light of Quran. Allah says it is deen al-fitra, the deen, the religion of nature, the nature in which we completed all things, the very pattern on which we made the creation and the human being. So the Quran, Surah 31, Ayah 14. Mother bears child in pain. So a mother, if she can sacrifice, if she can be a martyr, not to kill herself, not to kill her blood, if she can sacrifice herself, be a martyr to live selfless, die to this world, die to the temptation of this world. So this world is saying to the mother, oh, you need some pleasures. Leave these babies unattended. Leave them with that no-account woman or with those youngsters over there. Yes, sister, you're going to be tested. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to be courageous and brave and fearless. You have to be so bold and have such faith and conviction that you will kill yourself to please Allah. I don't mean cut your throat. I mean, kill your desire. No, I'll be happy if I could go to show today. I know I'll be happy if I can go with them to the museum today or to the park or to the party today. I know I'll be happy. But if I go, the children won't be happy. They won't be protected. Stay there. Live in pain if you have to. Protect those youngsters because they are our tomorrow. And let me tell you something, sister. Let me tell you something. Allah will be your protector, yes. There are people who say, oh, sister, I pity you. You never go anywhere, any place. You never have any enjoyment. But you will know in your own heart that Allah will show you a show bigger than their show. Allah will enter into your private life. And he will give you comfort. He will give you intelligence. He will give you faith that all you are doing will be rewarded. And you will have your party. And you will have your pleasures. They will be suffering in it. Be without the pleasures and be in heaven. So man kills selfish desires. Live in prison, self-imposed. And the man, brothers, you have to kill yourself. I mean, kill your desire for those freakish things of this world. Kill your desire for it. You have to lie in prison as long as we are in this un-Islamic society. We have to live in prison. And our prison is the prison of Islamic life, the prison of Islamic law, Islamic ethics, for building an Islamic society. And if we do this, we can change this whole world. There is nothing in this world that won't follow or move aside for us if we establish Islamic, purely Islamic examples in this society. So God loves all humanity like mother loves all children. The Quran, Surah 31, Ayat 14 to 15, mother travels upon travels, born him. El Hadith, page 182 and 1, mother loves three times. So the true, real mother, she cares about all of her children equally, no matter how bright one will be over the other. She will be awfully hurt if she thought that the bright one was looking down on the other one. That would hurt her terribly. She might even give him a good whipping, very good one. He might cry for mother later, but when he think about that whipping he got, he might say, oop, a good mother cares about all of her children. And that's how God wants us to see him. See how I have put it into mother, my care for human beings. See how she cares about all of them. And no matter how much one excels another, when it comes to the right treatment and the right respect, she brings it to them and enforces it. Isn't that wonderful? And this is just one feature of the good mother that I'm giving you. She has many good features. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. Surely Allah speaks the truth. I've been your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. We thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise LLC, Murad Speak, for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you, our honorable listening audience. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. And once again, thank you for listening. We will continue this next Wednesday at 7 p.m. and 8 p.m., inshallah.